Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
You have taken the land which is rightfully ours. Years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. We will sell our bracelets by the roadsides. You will play golf and enjoy hot hors d'oeuvres. My people will have pain and degradation. Your people will have stick shifts. The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims, especially Sarah Miller.
Gary, she's changing the words.
And for all these reasons, I've decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, not live stream, episode 504. My name's Will Koontz. This is Anna Hummel.
Hi.
Hi. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
How was your tea day?
Oh, amazing. it's amazing, but every Thanksgiving I feel like garbage. Like I do the wrong things. I fast all day. I start with alcohol. I just got off doing a round of antibiotics. Probably shouldn't have been drinking anyways. Gut microbiome's a little off, super bloated, constipated, but also has to go to the bathroom. You know, just feels like crap. But I think that that is characteristic of a Thanksgiving well spent, which is one that you were somewhat reckless. Like, because that is what we talked about this last week. That's kind of what the holiday represents, is American gluttony. And, you know, Native Americans are losers and whatever the case may be. But the holiday should involve some discomfort and some pain.
Yeah.
That's the American way. And it was great. I had a great time.
That's always been my strategy. Get a nice liquor base going first. I think that's a great idea. You know, it gets you lubed up socially for whatever you're about to go through, whether it's, you know, your family or even your friends sometimes you need to be lubed up for. So I highly endorse that strategy of starting early, but I understand that you're not a seasoned pro at alcohol.
No, I rarely drink ever. Like I said, I just finished a bout of antibiotics, which decimates your gut microbiome, obviously. So I was very uncomfortable after I ate. I just felt super bloated and I couldn't relieve myself. I was like bloated and still hungry.
Yeah.
You get that? Or you're like, you had the first plate and you're like, I could certainly eat more. And I did, but I was already very uncomfortable and then just proceeded to push.
Oh, did you have to use the toilet at Johnny's?
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I did.
Oh, wow.
I was messed up, bro. Mess up.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time. I had a great Thanksgiving as well. My father came along to up in Amelia Island near Jacksonville, a historic place and a beautiful place, a beach community up there. And it was me, my girl, her brother, his fiance, her father, my father, and my father's lady. So we had a decent crowd. I brought, I would say, 6 different bottles of bourbon to try, and I drank quite a few of them up there over the weekend, because we did stay for the entire weekend, and just a lovely time. Everybody got along. You know, I didn't really have any nerves about that, about nobody.
Because, like, you were drunk.
Well, even before that, I mean, I guess I'm drunk a lot of the week now, but even before that, I didn't really have any concerns. I just know my dad is so agreeable and nice and sweet. Like, no matter what, he's going to find a way to get along, especially in a situation like this. So, but everybody liked each other. There was a moment where my girl's father, at the table, at the dinner table. I don't even know how it came up, and I don't even know what context it really was, but we were talking about civility or something, and my girl's father goes, you know, frankly, and I hope you don't mind me saying, I think that Donald Trump had a lot to do with that. And I was like, oh no. But I think my dad agrees with that. My dad is a boomer conservative, but he probably agrees that Trump's a blowhard. So there was, Donald Trump did get brought up at the Thanksgiving Day table because he lives rent-free in a lot of people's heads. And my perhaps soon-to-be father-in-law is no exception of that. But my dad handled it great. He goes, yeah, I think there's some validity to that. And then kind of steered the conversation a little bit into another direction. And I was really proud of him because I was just staring at my plate.
No one knows what's up.
Yeah.
He was better than me. I'll say that much because politics got brought up at my Thanksgiving as well.
Oh, yeah.
And there was just a point where, like, you're talking to yourself and you're like, don't do it. And then the whiskey sour was like, say it. And I was like, eh. So, but I was very, it was very civil.
Yeah, that's very, was it. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, was it Johnny's son?
Yes.
I've had conversations with him too. A fine young man.
Yeah, he's very smart. He's very very bright young fellow. And I know that we've had conversations, like not the three of us, but we were more of the active participants. But when you get into a situation like that, I think the best way to handle it is just to ask questions.
Yep.
You go, well, what about that? Well, what about this?
waiting, comment.
Yeah.
So can you give an example of what you did that to?
I think he said something to the effect, and this is not verbatim, but it was something to the effect of, like, the biggest threat to America, or like, or what was it? I guess in terms of violence was white Christian nationals or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Where it was like, that's the biggest threat to American safety.
Makes sense.
You know, and then it was, I didn't bring up, but his father brought up, well, what about all the, like, black on black crime sort of a thing? And I was curious to, and he was like, well, there's actually a lot more, like, violence perpetrated by white Christian nationals. I'm like, well, is that just because there's more white people? Like, what about proportionality? And I was like, there's more terrorism on the part of white Christian nationals. So I'm like, can you define terrorism? Because it's not just someone who inflicts terror. Like, there's a definition. And then he said, well, it's how it's defined by the FBI. And I said, well, can you define that for me? And he said to me, and quote, and we've been using this around my household for the last week, well, with a quick Google search, you can figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. But anything I look up that supports, you know, things that I believe is biased media. Yes. But with a quick Google search,
I'm right.
So it was just interesting. So throughout the night, it was like a nice callback when we talk about something. I'm like, well, with a quick Google search, that was pretty cool. But it was great. It ended in hugs and laughs, and that's all you could want. So
yeah, that's the way it should be. I get that. Not everybody feels the way or has the same opinions that I do. They should. But they don't. So I understand that, and I can deal with that. And as long as we can hug it out at the end, I'm okay. Have a civil discussion.
I love it. You know, and it's way more interesting when people disagree with you than when they agree with you. And if you have a basic respect for who that person is and who they are, like, even if you think they're wrong, if you think they're compassionate and they mean well, then to me, that's all truly all that matters. And at the end of the day, you go, great seeing you. Hug. See you later. Hope to see you soon. Keep well, you know?
You know, the thing with the, well, you can look it up thing, you can Google it with a quick Google search is obviously you're not going to do that in the heat of the discussion. And then you look it up later. A lot of people that say that and they're wrong and it's too late. Like, the conversation's over. So you can't even, you could send it to him and he'd be like, yeah, whatever, I'm done with that. I don't.
And it wasn't even like he was wrong or right. He just didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
He was arguing that they're the greatest source of terrorism is our white Christian nationals. I'm like, is it just because they happen to be white? Are they doing it on behalf of Jesus? Because I don't see anyone going Jesus Akbar, you know what I mean? So and then he was just like, I was like, because I don't know. Like much of the discussion was, I'm curious because I don't know the answer. You seem to know the answer. Can you bestow some wisdom on me? And then he told me with a quick Google search, I can bestow some wisdom on myself.
Yes.
So I said, okay.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, this is just, you know, what people are told and by sources that they trust, that they're trusting the experts. And that's what the experts are saying. I mean, if you have eyeballs, you could clearly see that something's not right here with what you're saying. But I get it that a lot of people aren't curious like that. And they just go, I have to go to work and I have to pick up my kids from school. I don't have time to look it up. So I'll just go with what they say because they are the expert. So I understand it. It's a shame. And it's wrong in a lot of cases, but I get it. I get it to a certain degree.
Yeah. It is weird though, because like if I were to be an alien looking in on the conversation or even just political debates, kind of how they align themselves with each side, you'd go, the left are better people. Like they seem to be more compassionate people. Like the arguments he was bringing up was, you know, it's not fair that many Black kids grow up in impoverished neighborhoods within single parent homes and they're married to the government. And I'm like, I agree.
Yeah, agreed. Right.
That's not fair, but it is what it is. How do we make it better instead of just telling a kid as soon as he comes into the school system, you're disenfranchised, you're never going to do as well as your white counterparts. I told him, I'm like, you're right, even if it was true, is telling someone that message beneficial to them? Mm. I think the answer is no.
Right.
So that was also just like an interesting thing, like not lying, but also not telling a kid as soon as they, you know, come of school age, you're a victim, you're never going to do well, and it's everyone else's fault but your own, and there's nothing you can do about it. Mm. How is that helpful to anybody for any reason ever? It's just not. It's just not. So
yeah. Yeah. Agreed. What was his response to that?
You know, just kind of like, yeah, but like it's bad and it's not fair. And we should at least acknowledge that and have compassion for it. I'm like, okay. Until when? Like forever? Like, I mean, I'm not saying, I understand Jim Crow laws and the civil rights movement is of recent historical memory, but like at what point is it 100 years? Are we going to be through this? Is it going to be 200 years? Are we going to say 600 years ago there was slavery? Like at what point do we say it's over, it's done? I asked him how he thought about reparations. I thought he was actually going to be for it and he wasn't. So that kind of surprised me.
Yeah,
how do you reconcile that if you want to rectify these wrongs of the past? How do you feel about reparations? And he said that he just thought it was too difficult. And I was like, I agree. Mm. Like, I'm like, if you're half Black, half white, you just pay yourself. You know, that's like the thing I always bring up. I'm like, hey, thank you. You know, but
yeah, that's interesting. So yeah, it sounds like you did have a heated Thanksgiving. My only interaction was that one comment, and then it got left alone and nobody said anything about it and everybody moved on. I did get sick. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm coughing off mic every 2 seconds.
I did.
Which is unfortunate. I haven't been sick in a long time. Probably.
Maybe you have Chinese pneumonia. Ugh, I heard it's going around.
I did hear that. And maybe I do. I don't know. I haven't gotten knocked down with anything. I wasn't really knocked down like in bed, but I just felt terrible. I had over the past few days, just my head was just felt like a balloon and sinus headaches and all that. And my girlfriend's brother is so afraid of being ill. And I made the mistake of saying, geez, I think I got a cold like the day we were leaving. And he went, is it COVID, do you think? And I'm like, no. I don't know. Very well could be. I don't know.
He's young and strong and virile and he's afraid.
he just doesn't want to be sick, which I get. You know, we do have a lot of events coming up and stuff. Like, I'm going.
Oh, okay. So it's a timing thing, not so much like a health.
I think it's both. I think it's both. Okay. He hates being sick. I do too. It sucks. But at the same time, like, it does happen. And this is the time of year. Like, it was so cold up there. It was a drastic. Now it's cold here when we're recording this. But it was cold up there during that time. And just that shock to the system. Usually I always get a little bit of something. But this was a little bit worse than usual. So I don't know. I very well could have the dang thing. It is an upper respiratory infection. It comes from a coronavirus. So maybe it is. But there's also other things out there, like normal colds, which I think this one is. I didn't have a fever. I didn't have anything like that. But
yeah. And I mean, you are exposed to millions of bacteria and viruses every single day. And some people manifest symptoms and others don't. So like, you could very much have the flu in you, but you're not experiencing any symptoms because your immune system is strong. And I think that that is a good reason for people to take care of themselves, you right. know, because you won't get sick. I mean, most of the time, if you are healthy, because your immune system is just goes to battle and you don't, without you even skipping a beat or knowing that you're fighting anything.
Hey, just interrupting real quick for an ad for HMB Radio. I know you're listening to HMB Radio, but wherever you're listening to HMB Radio, please click the upvote button, give it 5 stars, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. This helps us with the algorithm, helps grow the show, and we really couldn't do it without you. Willsyoutube.com if you're listening on podcast. Join us. It's fun. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, so I made the mistake of saying it out loud that I think I had a cold and caused a minor crisis in the house that day. Luckily, we were leaving that day, so I didn't get too far. But yeah, I've been battling this thing. Finally, feeling good enough to do something today. I didn't put out any videos or pods this week. And then I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like I'm traveling a lot over the next, I don't know, 3 weeks, really. I think there's only one weekend that I'm in town. I'm heading out tomorrow to Key West for a long weekend.
It's your girl's birthday. I think it's a big one, too.
Yeah, 30. She's 30. So we're doing that. It's kind of to celebrate both of our birthdays. We've been doing it for the past, you know, couple years now. And so that's a good time. My buddy Kevin's coming down. So that should be fun. And then we got her Christmas party up in North Carolina for her company that we're going to, and they are making people COVID test before they come in. So that's fun.
At least you don't have to get another bam, bam, bam. So
which one? Oh, the deal.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. At least it's not like that. So you test. Are you testing before you get on the plane, or how's that going?
I don't know. I think you're supposed to do the day before. So yeah, I guess so. Before you get on the plane.
That would be, I mean, it seems dumb to test, be negative, and then get on a plane. That seems to be odd. But also that's a better chance of you being well enough to attend, you know, or to get to pass. Because it would make sense to test right before you enter the party, but that would be super annoying.
If you tested positive.
Positive, and then you're like, oh, access denied, go home, you know?
Yeah, well, that's another thing, too. Like, do I have to buy the test? I mean, those things are like $20. I don't really want to spend money if I don't have to.
It seems to be odd, and a lot of these tests are faulty. Yeah. You have to do PCR, whatever. Good luck with that.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, I'm kind of like, good, I got sick at the right time. You know, now definitely by next week, I'll be good to go. I might be, 80% this weekend, 90%, but I'm definitely on the back slope of this thing, which is good. But I don't know. I mean, like, I thought about it, like, I'm getting on an airplane tomorrow. Should I? But then if it's positive, then I'm screwed. I can't go.
So you're going tomorrow, and then when do you return from Key West?
Monday after.
Dang, dude. Nice.
Yeah, we got the CMG Christmas party on Tuesday after we get back. And then I got to do, I guess, work Wednesday. And then I think we leave on Thursday.
So dang, North Carolina.
Yeah. I think we're only going for like a day and a half, though, which is kind of good. But to be on an airplane for that is kind of wild. But it's going to be cool.
A bit much. Yes, I forgot I signed up for a race.
Oh.
So, and I haven't really been running. So I got like 9 days to get in shape. So it's pretty good.
That's nothing for you. How far of a race?
It's not far. It's a 5K, but I really want to kind of, which you could walk, but I'm not gonna. And not that I think I'm going to get first place or anything like that, but I'm hoping to at least place in my age group. That's kind of a goal. So
is it Runfest? Is it St. Pete Runfest?
No, I think that was a few weeks ago. This one is called the Hot Chocolate 5, 10 or 15K. Yeah. I'm doing the 5 because I'm a P word. And it's actually a race I did in 2012 when I was in San Diego. Granted, I was a lot younger then. And I remember I went to a rave maybe like 2 days before the race, which was not smart because I think I was still rolling on all the Molly I took and was very, very dehydrated. And I also decided to sign up for the 15K. So I was running close to 10 miles. It was a nightmare. But when I was done, it was like a cool event. So
I don't see very many 15Ks. I did a 10K with you a few years ago. I think you did the half marathon, though, didn't you?
No, I did the 10K with you.
Oh, 10K. Okay.
Rachel did the half.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So I think, and I thought like, well, maybe I'll try a half. And what was that, 3 years ago or
that
more?
That was 2018.
Oh, that was 5 years ago? Oh, my God.
Well, it was the best race I ever ran. And I think I really attributed to the pain I was going through at the time. I think you remember I was going through a breakup.
Yeah.
And rough. That race was I don't think I could run a better race because I was just so distraught. And I remember thinking during the race, all I want to feel is physical pain to take away from this emotional pain. Like that was what was going through my mind. And I remember telling Cody, who was Rachel's boyfriend at the time, I'm like, I think I placed in my age group. And he's like, looks around. There's like thousands of people. He's like, I don't know. And I was like, I think I did. And he's like, all right. And I did. I placed second in my age category. Immensely cool.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. Yeah, I remember you killed that race. I think I finished an hour or more after you did. And I felt very accomplished.
Dude, you did it. You finish it. You cross the finish line. That's all that matters. And honestly, if you're not like a runner, 6.2 is no joke. Like it's not an easy race. I don't think 10K is no joke. So
that's what it is. And I remember being that feeling after being done with that and being like, well, I guess the next step up is a half marathon if I want to do that. And I'm like, I'd like to do that just to say that I did, but I also don't want to do it. So I flirted with it a few times, said it out loud, and just never capitalize on that opportunity. But I like the idea of maybe a 15K because that's in between a 10 and a
that's
that would be the
right
next
under
step.
10. It's like 9.6 or something.
Yeah. So I don't run as much as I used to. Well, I still run, but I'm slow. It's like a fast walk is how I run. And I'm built for comfort, not for speed. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
So it's tough. Brent, you mentioned that you had a hard time out of a relationship. What's the craziest thing that you've done in your relationship experiences? I believe you're on your second boyfriend in your life, so probably not
third.
Much. Oh, third. Who was the other one?
It was in Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had breasts, remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
He was, what do you call those guys?
Chaldeans?
Chaldeans. A Chaldean man with boobs. Dated.
Pretty eyes, but nice breasts.
Better breasts.
He did have pretty blue eyes, but he did have a rack on him for sure. So
I'm trying to think like as far as I know, I've done weird stuff like love makes you crazy. But I mean, I feel like I've had more crazy stuff done to me than I've done. Like I had one chick who I was living with and I remember we got in a fight about, I don't know, who knows. We were just out drinking at night and she was like nude, and I don't know what I was just done. You know when you're just done, like you're done with somebody, and you're just like, she's nude in front of you, she wants to get it on, and I'm just like, ugh, I've had enough of you. And she was like beautiful girl too. But I don't know. I was just done with her. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave. And we were kind of fighting while she's nude. And she gets in front of the door and she like blocks it. She was not like fat, but like a big chick. She was like almost 6 feet tall and just like built, like not fat, but chunk, you know, thick. And she goes, "You're not going anywhere." And I went, okay. All right. I said, well, let's go fight then. Let's go fight. Let's go into the living room and fight. She went, okay. And then she started to walk. And I was walking in front. She was behind me, fully nude. And I spin moved her, got around her, got out the door and ran away. Out of the door. And she's sitting there nude, shaking her fist like an old-timey cartoon, yelling at me. And my cousin came and picked me up. And we split up shortly after that, believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I believe it.
I had another chick, an Asian, she's also kind of wacky, but I loved her very much. And she blinked a lot. Like she had that Asian blink, just like two blinks to every one of your blinks. It was weird.
Her eyes were even open?
They were. They were. I think she just did like Adderall and stuff. I don't know.
Oh, nice. Nice.
She was kind of weird. But she came home from being on, I guess, like a little vacation in Alabama. She was a big Crimson Tide fan. I think she might have went to the game or something. And she came back and, you know, we were about to make sweet love on her return to my lady. And she started to cry. And I said, this is weird. I can't have you crying. Like this is pre Me Too, but you know, I knew better. I was like, this could potentially one day get me in trouble if I keep going. So I was like, what's wrong? I did the what's wrong thing. And she said, I don't remember, something dumb. And I went, all right, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and go. That's my solution a lot. It's just, I'll go. We'll figure this out later. I'm just gonna go. And she took a glass and she had a terrazzo floor and just threw it at the floor. And she's nude too. And all these incidents are women nude. And it shatters and it cuts my leg. I have blood pouring down my leg from this glass. And then I just went, okay, I'm gonna go. And then I just went ahead and went home. And then she came by to my apartment and like she couldn't get in the gate and she was like banging on the gate. She did put on clothing by this time. But I've always felt like weird things happen to me. I'm sure that if there are any, you know, women that I've been with over the years, they could probably pick out a story or two, but I feel like I'm a perfect angel as far as my relationship goes. And I don't do anything weird ever, especially not this weird. This is a story I found on WFLA today. A Florida woman stabs a man with a rabies needle for looking at another woman. Or other women. In her defense, it's not just one woman. It's many women.
I get it, man. No, I don't. I don't get it. I'm kidding. That's horrible. You should never stab someone with a rabies needle.
Rabies is like one of those things, too, where you have to go through a... Would you rather get stabbed with a rabies needle or like... I was going to say like HIV, just because I feel like that's conducive with needles. Like that's one that you can get. But that seems like... I don't know.
I'd rather have rabies than herpes. Now, I think with rabies, though, it can kill you if it's untreated. So, yeah.
No, you have to get treatment quick.
Yeah, you got to get a move on. Otherwise, you're going to froth at the mouth and, you know, it's not going to be good for you.
A Florida woman was arrested Saturday after police say she stabbed a man with a rabies needle for looking at other women. Sandra Jimenez, 44. Hot or no? Should we look her up?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say, hot or no?
Probably not.
You can say no, huh? 44, Sandra Jimenez.
I want to look up rabies. Is it a virus?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. All right. Let's see. Here she is.
You say no, Anna.
I say no.
Well, I can tell you, you are right. That is a big no. Right there.
Big fat no.
That's a no. Where do you get a rabies needle from?
I don't know. I was thinking about that myself. I'm like, it was just, why was that lying around? Were they doing experiments on mice or something? Like, how do you, how does that work?
When the unsuspecting man laid down on the couch, Jimenez jumped on top of him with two rabies needles that were for their dogs and jabbed them into his right eyelid.
Woo!
That's gangster, man. In the eyeball, too. Jimenez said she left the house after she realized what she was done. She was arrested later that night when responding to police officers found her sleeping in her car. But wait, were the needles like a vaccine for the dog? Is it like a dead virus or something? How does that work?
I don't know. Or maybe like they were infected with rabies, like the dogs had rabies and they were for something else, but they were rabies infested. I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense.
I feel like, can you have dogs in your house that have rabies? It seems like they would have to be in a center or something.
I don't know.
That's so weird.
I don't know.
That's so weird. So many unanswered questions here in this story. So I wonder if he probably has to go through that treatment. The rabies treatment, it's like weeks long, isn't it? You have to get a bunch of vaccines.
I have no idea.
Let's look it up.
When it comes to rabies.
How to treat rabies. Apparently people have Googled this.
The time period between contracting the disease and the start of symptoms is usually 1 to 3 months, but can vary from less than 1 week to more than 1 year. I thought it was way quicker than that. I thought within like a few hours, you're frothing at the mouth, but.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it says once the infection is established, there's no effective treatment. You have to nip it in the bud before you, I guess, gets to a certain level.
Yeah.
Of in your blood. Is that, I don't know. I feel stupid now.
I don't know much about rabies, but it is one of those diseases that can jump from species to species. So that's why, you got to be careful.
With soap and water. What did you find out what rabies is?
I mean, it's a viral infection, it says. I didn't know if it was bacteria or virus, but it's a virus. Causes encephalitis in humans and other mammals, which I thought means your head gets big.
Isn't that brain swelling?
Yeah, inflammation of the brain. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it causes headache, fever, confusion, stiff neck, vomiting. It's not good. It's not good.
Would you rather have rabies or syphilis?
I'm going to go with rabies.
Really?
Like, syphilis you can treat with like a pill, right? Syphilis.
Although there is a antibiotic resistant strain out there right now.
Cool. Well, I hope I don't get that one. But yes, I believe Ben Franklin died of syphilis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. What's his name too? The famous gangster Al Capone, I believe, died of syphilis as well.
Would it be rude if I made a comparison between Jimmy Carter's daughter and Ben Franklin? Because I did today.
I got to look her up now.
She gave a speech at her mother's funeral yesterday, the day before. Her name's Amy Carter.
Amy Carter.
And when I saw her, I said, I didn't know Ben Franklin was in attendance. Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah, you're right. Wow.
Our forefathers. Yeah, that's Ben Franklin all day.
That is Ben Franklin right there. Holy moly.
Yes.
How about that? Wow.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I also made another comparison, and this is completely off topic, but I thought it was a good one. Hold on a second. What's his name? Hold on a second. One moment. It'll be worth it. Okay. Oh, dang it. Okay, so you're familiar with Travis Kelce's mom, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Mama Kelce, that's what I call
her. Yes. Okay, here we go. She looks like Bruce Valanche.
Do you know
I do.
What I'm talking about? This is Travis Kelce's mom.
Bruce Valanche. Yeah. Yeah. I can see it.
I remember looking at her. I'm like, I've seen that face before. And then I realized it was Bruce Valanche. They look similar.
How do you know Bruce Valanche? Because I know him from one certain... There's Bruce right there. Yeah.
I don't really know him. It was just a face that I'd seen before. So I literally looked up shaggy blonde hair glasses, fat comedian, and Bruce Valanche popped up, and I went, oh, that's Travis Kelce's mom.
But you don't remember Bruce Valanche anywhere.
Not the name.
Because I know exactly where I know him from. And it's not from comedy. He's a comedian that I've never seen do jokes ever.
Right. I just knew he was a comedian, but I had no like reference of, I'm like, maybe he was in a funny movie. Like I couldn't remember like where I knew the face from, but I'm like, that is a face I've seen before. Kind of like, remember when someone called in, remember I was saying, we were talking about, oh my God, what's his name? The guy, Bill, he was a part of Trump's cabinet, and someone called in to Stay Woke and was like, he looks like Droopy Dog.
Yeah, Bill Barr.
Bill Barr. Does, and I was like, I knew I had seen that face before, and it was Droopy Dog. See, that's Travis Kelce.
That's Travis Kelce's mom. You're right. There is a similarity there. So I only know Bruce Valanche from Hollywood Squares.
I don't even know.
That's, he was on TV a lot. I've never seen him do anything else. American comedy writer, songwriter, and actor. Two-time Emmy Award winner. He is known for his four-year stint on Hollywood Squares as a celebrity participant. Behind the scenes, he was head writer for the show. Okay, so he wrote Hollywood Squares, which I don't know what kind of writing goes into Hollywood Squares because it's a game show. And then he goes, you know what? I'm just going to put myself in the show. And that's what we know him from. I believe a homosexual, I believe.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, that was nice to finally solve that little quandary in my brain. Cause I was like, where have I seen that face? And it was Bruce Valanche.
75 years old. I'm really glad that, he was in 2009's Oy Vey, My Son is Gay. He was in Get Bruce in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been good. He was in Naked Boys Singing in 2007.
Mm-mm.
So he did a lot. He did a lot of famous things that he should be known for. But unfortunately, we only know him from Hollywood Squares. And you know him as Travis Kelce's mom.
Yes.
That role.
Yeah, he's always in the box with Taylor Swift.
I feel like we didn't accomplish much today, but I know you have to go and I'm about to start coughing all over the place. So I got to cut this one short. It was a pleasure. Are you okay? Are you bummed?
No. That's perfect. Like, right. I feel bad because I know you're getting back on a plane to infect, a few hundred more people with COVID. So it's unfortunate for them.
Yeah.
But you got to do what you got to do.
That's right. That's right. That's my motto. I got to do what I got to do. More ways than one, if you know what I mean, if you catch my drift. Mm-hmm. We'll be back on, I guess, I don't know. I'm going to try to be back on Monday here on YouTube. I don't know, though. It's going to be tough. And Anna, a pleasure speaking with you. And I look forward to doing it again very soon. It's going to be Christmas. So I already got you your present, which is that microphone you're talking in there. So I will not be getting you anything.
Ooh, that's totally cool. We'd love to have you and your gal come by. And please wish her a very happy 30th birthday. That's a big one.
I will do that.
So enjoy Key West, and we'll see you on the other side.
See you on the other side. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in, folks. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. Follow me on social, home_made_man, 813-693-2124. You can leave a voicemail or a text message over there. Look forward to speaking with you again on willsyoutube.com for extra content available only over there. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Kuntz. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.